Hi, this is Dr. Mike Carberry, and welcome to AMI Today. And this is a special show we have for our clients because we get a lot of questions about investments and things that our clients can invest in. And we have two experts that we're going to talk to today. We have Tom Duffy and David Cox. They are from Duffy Crossbowden in California. That's a CPA firm, and they're very knowledgeable in real estate investments and tax and a lot of other things that we like to talk about. A lot of the questions we've got from our clients about things they could do for investments. So welcome, guys.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for taking part of your day out. I know that we have clients that are doing well with our program, especially with the Cardone Ventures program. And we have clients now are saying, I have to start thinking about what I'm going to do to invest this extra cash that's now coming in or this extra money. And they're talking to us about investments. And we were given an opportunity to create a mobile home investment, mobile home park, because real estate seems to be the place to invest. You guys have a lot of knowledge on that. So we're going to be asking you some questions about real estate and investments and tax benefits of doing that. So before we get started, do you want to give us some background on what you do and your knowledge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. I'm a certified public accountant, also PFS from the AICPA, a personal financial specialist. So we do a lot of investment consulting and, of course, heavy tax consulting and business structure analysis. So what's the best way to move the company forward? CPA firm has got 11 partners currently, 4 offices, primarily in California, about 160 staff. We've got a large practice nationally with respect to our size. We're rated probably 260 in the country. Very proud of that and growing very significantly. And Dave and I are a team. We work together very closely on most of our largest real estate clients in our company, touch base with mostly U.S. operations with clients, and we have operations overseas with different client groups also. So heavy real estate, heavy tax consulting, and how do you get the best out of the tax code that it currently exists? That's our
right.
job.
Right. Yeah. You guys came to us highly recommended. The person who recommended wanted to stay anonymous, so I'm not going to disclose that. But
okay.
Very, very wealthy people, highly recommended sending you our way. So we're glad to have you both on. David, you want to give us a little bit of your background?
Yeah, sure. I'm a CPA. I've been 25 or so. I've been with Duffy Crossbowden for about 8 years. I work a lot with Tom as well. And primarily in real estate is probably, I would say, if I have a specialty, but we do a lot with high wealth individuals and their small businesses, a lot of planning and consulting with our clients to try to optimize their situation and try to meet their goals in their lives. So there's a lot of planning with our clients and consulting with them and with their businesses.
So. Yeah. Good. Okay. So Tom, you mentioned a little earlier about you don't actually have 4 practices right now. You have 170. How do you guys do with COVID? How did that impact your
business? Oh, you know, we have a very strong IT department. I grew up in the IT world years ago, 20 years ago. And fortunately, we were at the cusp of transitioning to work-life balance, to work from home. And we just happened with COVID, we did it in 2 weeks. So all 4 offices went, 170 offices, their home offices, and didn't miss a beat. It was difficult. Teams environment, Zoom environment has been very, very helpful in connecting to all of our clients and staying in touch and real for everybody during this pandemic. And as it looks forward, I think most of our business clients are going to have us do Zoom meetings and Teams meetings because it just is much more efficient, to be honest.
Yeah, we have a close friend who is an executive at Amazon, and she said they have those beautiful facilities in Seattle that nobody's been to for 6 months. And I think
we've got quite a few square feet of space that are empty right now.
Yeah,
in our 4 offices.
Just recently remodeling, added space.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Let's talk about adding space in real estate and investment. Okay. So a lot of our clients are looking for places where they can invest. And a lot of them, you know, like me, we're newbies at it. We don't really know how to do it. We're not sure exactly what the game is. I know that with the mobile home investment that we came across, it seems like a very good deal. And I never even thought of mobile homes. But what they were telling us, these investors were telling us, they've outperformed almost every other form of real estate for the last 20 years. And it's something you never think about. So If somebody were to get into a real estate investment, how would they do it? And what would they be trying to do?
So cash flow is king, as we know, in any kinds of investments. And the first thing I would tell anybody if they're going into real estate is you need to make sure you've got a good attorney on structure and you have a good CPA that understands real estate, right? And yourself in real estate. So in terms of your investments, the key is in real estate, when you're going into a venture that is liability driven, is to have an entity structure, partnerships, limited partnerships, LLC, general partnerships, because there's benefits to having a partnership structure more so than estate and trust planning, because you can do different things yourself with your ownership. And more importantly, the cash driven results of the operations are such that the depreciation that you get when you buy an investment is going to alleviate probably 30 to 50% of your profit. And it's a non-cash expense. So real estate will give you cash flow and no taxation. That's the ultimate focus of the investment itself. And it's always a dance, is as you buy one investment, it may throw off losses, passive activity losses. Another investment may throw off PIGs, passive income generators. And the two of those piles of investments are merged together. They're a bucket. So real estate investments are a bucket on your tax return, like wages, interest and dividends, and other investments. Real estate kind tends to be merged together first to a net number. That net number goes onto your tax return, depending on if it's gains or losses.
Right.
So it gets very technical when you start investing in property with losses. You better be very careful in consulting with your advisors on how can you use those losses currently with your income rather than having them suspended because of the tax laws and you don't get to use those deductions on your, against your current income and taxation. So a lot of the planning will result of what is your investment individually? Does it make sense for you to have losses coming off of this property if you cannot use them? That's the passive activity rules.
Right.
So we like to see profits on our real estate, and that requires a lower debt structure, more investment with cash. You buy things more with cash, and your syndications are going to bring in the investors, not debt. They bring in the investor pool. That throws off a profit. You have no mortgage interest. So by throwing off a profit, 2-3 years ago, Dave, was it the Qubit came in? Was it 18? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The qualified.
It's been 2 years already.
Qualified business income deduction is being offered to real estate investors. It's 20% of the net profit. So if you do it right and you have this QBID deduction available to you, that's an additional deduction on top of depreciation. So depreciation is about a third of the property value. It's your cost basis of your buildings and your mobile homes. You take a third of that cost purchase, that becomes a depreciable asset. And it usually is about one third of the total purchase price, generally speaking. There's different rules on that. But depreciation is a non-cash expense. QBID's non-cash expense. That's a tax benefit. So the real estate investments from an individual that has millions of dollars of income have to be managed very carefully to make sure that those losses, if they're generating them, are being deductible against your current income.
Right.
Okay.
So it gets a bit complex. It's not something that, like, you know, your buddy who's in a CPA could just do. It's got to be somebody who's trained in it, like you guys are, to pay attention to.
Yeah. Most real estate, you know, accountants understand these rules. A general accountant that's doing just general tax work may not have any understanding of the complexities. And to be honest with you, Michael, it's really a combination of the individual investment's portfolio. How does it balance with a real estate investment? You know, interest and dividends are not allowable technically as offsets against real estate losses, depending on your AGI or adjusted gross income. It starts phasing out as you make more money. So there are some rules you have to be careful of. But what happens with a lot of our investor groups is they may have a lot of real estate that's throwing off losses and they can't use it. What we tell them is go buy another real estate investment for cash or with other investors, make profits. Those profits are completely tax-free because the losses you're generating that you couldn't use are now offsetting the real estate profits that right. you are now buying.
Okay. So then you definitely in your fold want to have real estate that's generating cash and a lot of cash. That you got to have something like that or it's not worth it because the losses are just losses. But if you're generating a lot of cash, you get the depreciation from that property, plus you get the write-offs from other losses that might offset that. So your tax burden is not as high as it would be if you were just making a lot of money.
Correct. Correct. Right? Yeah. The, okay. The depreciation piece, let's say you buy a property for $1 million and 600,000 is the building. That building is depreciated generally over 30 years. It's a $20,000 deduction annually. So if your cash flow is 20,000 off your real estate investment, depreciation zeroes it out. So you're going to take 20 grand in cash and you're not going to have any taxation with respect to that $20,000 in cash.
Until you sell.
Until you sell.
Don't forget.
Good point. And then there's different investments. There's, you know, there's a 1031 exchange. We do a lot of exchange work these days because people have a lot of profits in their business and their real estate investments. Or there's also a qualified opportunity fund you can go into, which is came out about a year ago, I think in 19, which is the OZ, qualified opportunity zones for all of the United States. You reinvest your capital gains into a qualified opportunity fund. That's capital gains. It's not ordinary income. Your investors are going to have ordinary income generated from their businesses that are doing very profitable, right?
Right, right.
So it's a little different structure, but if you sell real estate, there's a couple of avenues to defer gains today.
Avenue would be taking it from the income from the practice, which would be taxed, normal taxable income, and putting it in something that would be a long-term investment so that you lessen that burden, which is smart strategy. And it's something that doctors don't really think about. We think about treating patients and getting better. But if you come upon this money, I know it's mostly doctors are looking for investments. Usually you become like an investor as a limited partner. There's also a general partnership. Would you say to stay away from limited, or there a good opportunity there, or they're all different?
Yeah, I have general partnerships. Usually the general partner is a corporation because there's unlimited liability to the general partner. So we typically have a shell corporation hold the general partner interest, no assets in it, you know, basically. And it basically holds the liability as a general partner. But I think the other comment I think you had made earlier was with respect to your investors and invest in themselves first. So if they have a real estate investment they want to make and they have a practice, can they buy the building they're in? Right. And if they'd own that building in a partnership, and that way they can control the rent structures between themselves. And there's different advantages to doing that, depending on which way side of the coin you want to be on. But we have a lot of clients investing first in their own buildings, their own investments for their own use, and then they parlay that out to other investments with investment like mobile home parks, other disposable income, you know, free income.
Now, the mobile home parks, what we notice about them is they do generate a lot of cash because this one, we got involved in an investment, Colleen and I did with a couple of our partners, and through COVID-19, their collection, even though the government said they didn't have to pay the rent, they still collected over 98% of the rent. And I asked why to the general partners, why did that happen? And they said, because if they lose their rent, if they lose their place to live, they're on the street. There's like mobile home is pretty much the bottom of the tier and they don't want to lose that. So what these guys do is they go in, they clean up the mobile home park, make it attractive to them, keep the rent relatively low. And it attracts people who are down under luck, but they want to have a nice place to live. They can get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath apart or a condo or a mobile home for under $1,000 a month. That's pretty good thing. So there's that part of it. But then we're talking about like 3-year versus 10-year. And, you know, I guess you want to have access to your cash, but if you do a 3-year investment, then you're going to have to be looking at something like a 1031 or something like that to not get taxed every 3 years.
And that's an interesting discussion, Michael, because you can't do a 1031 exchange with your piece of a partnership. The whole partnership has to do the exchange. So you're limited as a limited partner and thinking you can do an exchange if you sell out of your partnership investment, that's not going to help you. It has to go into what's called a tenancy in common ownership, and you've got 50 investors all owning 1/50th, then you could do an exchange as a tenancy in common.
Okay.
But so that gives you more liability, and that requires a single member LLC or another limited partnership structure that would own that tenancy in common piece.
So it does get very, very complicated because I'm on the board getting lost already.
We do a lot of presentations up on the board, the whiteboard, right? Here's the assets and here's how it moves. And it gets crazy.
So if our guys were looking to do investments like this, they really should have a firm like you guys have as far
they
as
need to get good representation. You know, it's either us or it's other, there's other people out there that do this also, but yeah, it's a specialty. It is in terms of the structures that you get into. And we would certainly love to consult with anybody if they're thinking about doing this, if they got questions, but it does require some analysis of their tax returns, their goals, the investment structure, the investment performance, the portfolio that they're going to buy into, and reviewing, you know, a due diligence review of the investment itself.
And then,
the
of course,
of income they have.
Yeah.
You guys were telling me before the show, then every time there's a regime change in Washington, it could all change.
We love it. It's the Full Employment Act for the CPAs of the world. So the tax attorneys and CPAs love the changes. However, yes, we are getting in front of a lot of the perceived legislation that's coming from either party, and we're trying to figure out which way it's going to go. And we're making some changes now in anticipation of what we think may happen in November. And then,
sometimes these laws, sometimes these changes are retroactive too. And
exactly.
And things. And,
That's rather bizarre. So it does get kind of complicated. So if like a lot of our doctors have read Robert Kiyosaki's books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the Cash Flow Quadrant, and they're looking for a source of income other than their practice, like a passive income, something that generates income for them that they don't have to continually work. And real estate can be very, very good for that.
But yes.
There's so many rules and so many laws. And I guess it changes from state to state as well. Is that correct?
It does. It does exactly. So
California.
The Rich Dad, Poor Dad books, I read those 15, 16 years ago. I started my real estate investments probably 30, 40 years ago. I'm 64 today. But I have a very prolific CPA firm. It's doing fantastic. But I went into real estate for that reason also. Where can I make the most bang for my buck rather than stocks and bonds? And where else can I go? It's a fabulous area to invest in. There are some dangers, of course. Commercial property today, very dangerous investment with the pandemic, losing all your tenants. Residential property rental, I have a lot of that. It's been not affected at all. I have a very few tenants not paying rent. So there are some structures you have to be aware of. There are groups of asset pools in real estate that are better than others in diversification purposes. So you need to understand what you're getting into is how do I get out of it? It's always easy to get in, but how do you get out?
Right.
We always look at the exit clause.
I've had a lot of people talk about storage, and I imagine storage would be something that would be probably pretty steady no matter what the economy was, just kind of like multifamily housing would be more steady, especially if you're doing like the lower end type of multifamily.
Right. Yeah, we have a large contingency of storage units that people own for years. And I looked at one a year ago to build one in Arizona and decided not to. It was too much. There was too many of them there. The concentration wasn't good. And I hired a specialist to tell me, probably not the best investment for you here and what you're going to put into this property. You're not going to get out unless you actually put air conditioning in the whole thing, which is another $1 million. So we elected not to do that.
Yeah, we have storage facilities in Florida, but if it's not air conditioned, you know, you
exactly
get a bunch of moldy stuff in there.
Exactly.
Because of the humidity that's here. But okay, good. So then another thing that we wanted to talk to you about, because I know that if our guys do investments and they make money and they start to accumulate wealth, well, then we have inheritance and we have trust. Yeah. You guys do stuff with that too, don't you?
I do quite a bit of estate and trust planning. That's an offshoot of the wealth clients that we have with respect to their investments. Most of that planning, generally speaking, is done with partnership interests that you own that you may want to give to your family members, and you can gift that interest into a partnership structure with your family. You can take your assets such as stocks and bonds, real estate, your S-Corp assets that you own in your doctor practices. Those can all be gifted into a partnership with your family. And today, that exemption is $11.5 million, $11.6 million with inflation. With our current regime change happening, perhaps in Washington, it could go down to $5 million or could go to zero. We don't know. If nothing else happens in the estate tax law, that exemption will go down to $3.5 million January 1 of 2026, Dave. I think it's 2026.
5 years.
And then it's indexed. So it'll go to $5 or $6 million. So we are gifting today, we are transferring wealth in the anticipation of losing the estate tax exemption with a regime change in Washington and or 2026, we know it's gonna go to five or six million with inflation. So we're forming partnerships, we're having shareholders transfer interest into partnerships. And the reason this is so effective is that the current IRS rules allow multiple discounts if you don't own 100% of the property. They're called minority discounting. So I can take a $5 million gift and I can actually use $7.5 million of value, but only use $5 million of my exemption to transfer $7.5 million of real value. That's because of a discount formula. So you're moving minority pieces into your partnership for your kids or your other heirs, and you're basically allowing yourself to transfer more than the exemption itself. That's the minority discounting issue.
So coming from somebody like me who's naive, if somebody, because I realized when I talked to our doctors about this, I can't believe how many of them don't even have wills or never even thought of it. Or they have a will they wrote like when they were decades ago and they've never updated it. So if that, somebody goes into that blind and they don't have, they're not prepared for it, how much of their inheritance is going to end up going to tax and not to the family? Or how much could
it? It becomes an issue because each state controls the intestacy, how things transfer at death, and there's probate and there's different costs in that. And probate is a public document. Most of our clients want to be private. They don't want it splashed on the newsletters of the Superior Court that the $50 million estate was transferred to XYZ. So having a will is nice because that basically deals with your personal property and your wishes, and having a trust and transferring your ownership of your assets into the trust will basically allow you to avoid probate and to manage your affairs from the grave. You have to follow the trust agreement, right? And there's different capacities in the different structures of the trust that give more or less powers to the people that are going to be the trustee. So I would really encourage all of your members to have them, their tax returns and their estate tax looked at by a professional from the estate planning side to say, what do you need to do at a minimum? We typically have all of our clients review their estates every 5 to 10 years, their current documents, because things change. The best planning is a target on the wall, the dartboard, you know, and you get a bullseye with a dart today because you did great planning, but the dartboard's moving through life and the dart's still on the wall and it's fixed. So you need to make sure that your plan is on target for where you want to go. That's what we try to,
Yeah, and I know Colleen and I spoke to you over the last couple of months and we've decided we're going to be working with you to do that. I'm going to try to encourage my other doctors that are in our group to do the same thing, because it's a shame to work and build a legacy and create the same thing and then something happens and it most of it goes to the government. That's
40%.
Yeah.
40% of the estates and trusts. Yeah.
40%. You know, it's stuff that you've already paid taxes on too. And it goes at that rate. So yeah, we're going to put across the screen a contact for you guys, but what is the way to contact you guys?
Probably today it's by email. You know, there are phone numbers in offices. Like I said before, most of us are working from home. I don't want to publish my cell phone number today. I'm making too many calls, but the email addresses would be fine. I think that would work great. For David and I, it's I'm Tom at dkllpcpa.com. And then Dave, I think it's Dave at?
David at dkllpcpa.com. And and also you'll send them our email with our, it'll have our website on there. You can take a look at our website.
Yeah, that'd be a great reference.
They definitely think our clients need to do that because we're just touching on this subject. It's a relatively new subject for our clients. There's a definite need coming as our clients expand, which we see that happening with the Cardone Ventures program.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that they're covered, that as they move into this new level of income, that they have a plan to handle it and not just be gullible and have it all swept away by the government, because that's, you know, it's not... Yeah. It's tough to run a business, it's tough to create a business, and it's tough to grow a business. And when you do, you want to have some measures in place to say that, okay, my family should benefit from this. That's why I did it, not for the government. So anyway, anything you guys want to touch on that you think might be germane to our clients before we...
I'll throw one at you. This is kind of an advanced topic, and Dave and I go around a little bit with our clients. I do this myself. Form a pension plan in your business, and you defer assets into the pension plan at ordinary tax rates. Very substantial. That pension plan, if structured properly, can actually go out and invest in real estate. And investing in real estate in a pension plan is quite interesting because there is no taxation on sale. There's no taxation on income. It sits in the pension plan tax-free until you retire. And then you take distributions out of that plan or sell the asset. but we're doing a lot of leveraging with highly profitable businesses forming 401k, defined benefit, cash balance, pension plans, especially if the company that sponsors it isn't your operating company, it's your property management company, which doesn't require funding for all of your employees because the earnings on this company are generated from the real estate that you own. So you pay a property management fee to your own company and you form a pension plan that continues to buy assets in real estate. So I've leveraged that and I'm done. Do we have a number of clients that it works for? Some it doesn't. You have to have your own business. Well, most of your constituents have their own businesses.
Yeah.
So this is a highly missed area of planning. It's not easy to do. It is advanced. There's a lot of things you have to jump through in terms of the technical structure, but it's a very, very good way to leverage tax-free money because you're investing in real estate inside of something that's not going to get taxed for could be many years. So now that's another.
That's an awesome one. I mean, I didn't expect that. That's really awesome. I know that you guys work around the country. The questions I'm going to get from our clients is, well, these guys are from California and I'm not in California. But I know, Tom, you flew out to Florida to meet us because you're on your way to see a client in, I think it was in Fort Myers.
Fort Myers Beach.
You have clients all over the country. You can work with clients in almost any state.
Yeah, we're driven generally, by, Mike, by the federal tax law and the federal tax rates, which are so high. California, of course, is very high. New York is high. There's many other states. So we do a lot of consulting. I would say we probably touch all 50 states in some capacity. We have a lot of clients internationally also that we work with in consulting before they bring their assets into the country. So yeah, we can handle quite a wide spread of clientele across the U.S. or across the country, to be honest with you, with respect to what their needs are for those states. But again, it's federal law is what really drives us to these conclusions because of the tax rates at that level.
Well, I'm very glad to have both of you on the show because I know we have clients that need your services now, and we will have more clients that need your services as we progress through our program to build our practices, which is working very, very well.
Awesome.
And, you know, basically, that's the thing that we want to do. I know we heard a lot from Tom. David, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to mention also, I mean, dealing with working with clients all over the country. I mean, we can set up a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting with them and hop on a call anytime we're available for half hour consultation if they want to discuss their individual situation. Everyone has their own, you know, things that they're dealing with and things that they're considering investing in. So it really depends on their situation, what other income factors they have. And that's a good thing with this COVID situation. We're so used to having these meetings online now that it's second nature now.
So, I was teaching at the California Chiropractic Association and they did it live on Zoom. And they were having a contest about the best Zoom outfit that people wore. And I was like, Yeah, I've been guilty of that. You know, I'm standing up with the jacket on and I'm wearing shorts. So I'm not going to show you what I'm wearing now. But anyway, I'm in my office. I'm dressed properly. But thank you so much for being on this show. We're very, very happy to have the affiliation with your company. It was handed to us by a very, very valued source. And I don't know if our clients realize how valuable it is to have access to you guys. So I appreciate you coming on. And once they start to work with you, they're going to realize how valuable it is. Thank you again for your time and
our pleasure. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to help you and everyone that you're working with.
We're hoping this is just the beginning of a great relationship. So thanks again for being here. This is Dr. Mike Carberry with AMI Today. That's it for this week, and we'll see you guys next week.